listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
A Portrait of the Artist, formerly known as Sense, the Brainwash, with my vocal tones I rinse, opportunity and the beat knocks. Women give me rhythm like beatbox, but it's the year completion. I want a queen to complete Rosh. Who's flavored from Stacks to Reebok? Sending blessings to the family of Ice Mike. Shit like that don't help me right. But I got sight like a destruction worker when it's time to bail. Get out like Sam Jack in the time to kill. And perseverance, I'ma find a mill to provoke. My grandpa's used to trick out big papers at the riverboat. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house Tuesday. So, you know. It's just same old podcast time. You know what we do.
Yes, sir.
All kinds of crazy news going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackout Tips, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. You can become a premium listener, theblackouttips.com/premium, where you can hear stuff like Balls Deep. You can hear, hopefully within the next 48 hours, you can hear our reviews for off-season reviews of Arrow, The Flash, and
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. So, we got more coming, too. So that'll be cool. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today is day 384 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail. No trial for the bail.
Over a year, y'all.
Yep. We've been meaning to do this for a while. So let's get into this real quick.
we forget again.
Yeah, some of you guys sent us Christmas cards and Christmas gifts through our Amazon wish list. That was dope of y'all, and we wanted to thank the ones that, you know, either the card came with it or you know you said your name or whatever. Andrew D hooked me up with a reversible Scully for the Hornets.
Mm-hmm, it's pretty.
Yeah, man, I needed that in my life. I like my other Hornets hat that I already got, but it's got this little ball on the top, this little poof ball, man. You know, like, I like the joints like this. So I look hood. You know what I'm saying? I gotta look tough. John H says, thank you for all that you do. You two have brought so much joy and insight into my life. I just want to show you some appreciation, wishing you two continued success. And what was this one for, Karen?
I remember there's the other piece to the,
Oh, yeah. Karen has a mobile microphone. By the way, this is just like technology. We get a mobile microphone so we can interview people outside of the studio and still have good sound quality and all right. That stuff. We're like really excited about that, mm-hmm. Especially with Karen's Lip Smacking Good show. Now we can go mobile. We can go interview some people in their restaurants and stuff.
Right.
And of course we start hooking it up and it's like, well, hook up this wire to the computer. And we're like,
I was looking hard for
That's not in the box.
I was tender. I was like, did I lose the cord? Did I drop the cord?
So then it's like, oh, here's for some more money. Here's the box and the cord and all the stuff that you actually need to get off the ground with this.
Right.
So that was a huge size, but we got it. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you. This one is from, let's see, ADW. What is this one? May your holiday days be merry and bright with love from the Dohertys, man. Look at this.
Aww.
All that black love in your face.
Black love, yes. I'm talking about, dog.
Wait, this is like junk mail, Karen. What is this?
That's not here? Junk mail.
It's something inside of it. Yes. Okay. This is, what was this? This is for Karen. Oh, this is a accessory pack. Okay, it was the same one from John.
Okay.
So it's the same note, by the way.
Okay, cool. So
they double packed that note. That's dope. Somebody got me Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even tell me who got it. Just said so. Somebody mm-hmm. wanted to anonymously send me Ant-Man the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love you guys.
I know it's after Christmas and we still celebrating it to the first of the year. We don't care.
Yeah,
it could be Christmas all year round. I have no complaints.
We already told you, Olivia and Giovanna and family sent us something.
And it's so
they said just don't put their address out there so you can kind of see the card, but I'm not going to show you the whole card. Yeah. I don't want to put everybody's info out on the streets, but we appreciate that.
Yes.
Our girl Terry sent us this Star Wars card. And it comes with a BB-8 ornament.
Yay.
for your Christmas tree.
So we hung it up on the Christmas tree Roger bought.
Merry Christmas, Ron and Karen. Hope you can too can relax and enjoy the holidays. Keep up the great work on the podcast. The TBGWT community has grown so much. Wishing y'all all an awesome new year. Peace, Terry D. Thanks, Terry.
Appreciate you.
I thought I was just going to be kicking your butt in the fantasy football league. I didn't know it would lead to all this. Karen got a Panthers fan B bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say who it's from. Who's it from?
I don't think it said that's all that came.
Somebody wanted to send it. No, Shannon. Okay. Shannon G. Okay. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, sweetie. I didn't see that part because some come with messages and some don't.
Yeah, some of these got messages, some don't. And I think this is the last thing. Valerie C. got Karen some Panthers earrings. So mm-hmm. she's going to be balling on them on Sunday on game day, y'all. She put on all this stuff and get dressed up. And whenever we go out, people are like, y'all going to the game? I'm like, nah, we just going to watch it at home.
I do. I thank y'all because I love our fans. Even if they're not Panthers fans or even if they like, I'm buying this only because of my love for you. I thank you. But y'all just don't know. I be so proud. I come in here. I have my Panther jersey, my Panther earrings, my Panther bracelet. I even got the scarf. Honey, I'd be wrapped up in Panthers gear and I'd be just as happy as I want to be. So I thank y'all for making my Sundays happy.
Yeah, man. Appreciate all y'all, man. That's dope. And, you know, someone also got me a reversible Nike headband. And I feel like I didn't get a note with that or something. So, but appreciate all y'all, man. That's dope, man. All right. Let's get into, the news and stuff because believe it or not, guys, news keeps happening, you know? It's like sometimes you just think like, oh, there must not be much news going, slow news day. And then I start looking at the happenings around the world, and I'm like, nope, shit's still going.
Yeah,
We haven't done this in a minute, but.
Hey! All right, where my skate? Goddamn injustice.
Yay! I wanna ask you.
What you wanna ask me, baby?
There is something.
Hey!
That I wanna know.
I tell you what you wanna know, baby.
The answer.
I might depend on what it is.
So tell me what I want to know. Do you want a funk? Do you want a funk? Don't you want me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want a funk, let me show you how. Do you want a funk with me?
All right, all right. It's gay news time, if you couldn't tell. I'm sorry. We didn't even say what it was.
we ain't got to say. So I'm telling you now, if you have problems with us defending the gay community, it's time for you to stop the podcast right now. We don't want no letters and or emails with no bullshit because we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, guess what side we're going to be on, guys?
Right.
In the first article, a Tennessee school wins the right to ban gays and women who have had sex. They say this is who we are.
Professor Newman can now ban gay students or other students that they feel don't live by their religious beliefs. How's that possible? A waiver they were just approved for by the federal government. Good evening, I'm Ted Hall.
And I'm Amanda Hara. The ban can also be applied to unwed mothers, women who've had an abortion, even pregnant students. Only on Local 8 News, anchor Lauren Davis was on campus today and now joins us with details.
Here at Carson Newman University, they're taking a lot of heat from a waiver saying that they can discriminate against gay students and mothers who have children out of wedlock. So I sat down with the president to see what he has to say about that.
Carson Newman is a private Southern Baptist college in Jefferson County. The university's president sent a letter in May asking to be exempt from Title IX, which says colleges cannot discriminate against students.
This is who we are as a Christian university. These are our religious principles. And in a changing world, we would like to reaffirm that this is who we are and who we intend to be.
Dr. O'Brien says that he filed the waiver on the advice of his attorney.
You're the president. You're not the one to file something unless you understand it.
Yeah, I understood that our legal counsel said that this would further establish our identity as a religious school, a Christian school.
We challenge his answers to help make sense of it all.
Do you discriminate?
I don't know how it would be.
Well, then why file the waiver then?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Dr. O'Brien says the waiver won't change the policy they already have in place, again putting the spotlight on the school's attorney.
I believe he felt that it might strengthen our position in relation to First Amendment rights. I don't really know why something would be necessary beyond that, but that was his counsel, and since he's an expert in the field, we followed the template.
We talked to students to see what they thought about their school having the right to discriminate.
I don't think Carson Newman would ever outright discriminate or do anything against anyone, but I could see why this is a Christian university, and so we need to protect our Christian values as well.
So I don't think it's right to discriminate against anyone.
They have the right to waive that if they want to.
Again, Dr. O'Brien assured me that next year they will not discriminate against any students. In Jefferson County, Lauren Davis, Local 8 News.
And the lawyer who advised Dr. O'Brien to file the waiver also filed for nearly a dozen other Christian schools across the nation. There are a total of 30 schools in the U.S. that are now exempt from Title IX so far.
Right, because this is goddamn lawyer. This is his thing. This lawyer gets paid to do dispute his bullshit. And the problem I have is that this only targets females. So
it targets gay people, too.
Right, gay people too.
And then women who've had sex, which they were confirmed by pregnancy or abortion.
Right. My thing is, and when I say target females, I'm not exempting gays. I'm saying, what about the males that are having sex with these females? Are they being kicked out too?
How do you prove that a man had sex with a girl? You know, a man had sex with a woman, a student. How do you prove that two students both had sex? You can only show the physical proof of a woman.
Right.
Or if you find record of some sort of abortion or something. By the way, the whole thing is bullshit. Do they still take Title IX money?
Right.
That's the question. Yeah. Follow the money. They exempt from it, you know, but this whole thing is just, we won't take any of that money and we won't worry about any of that shit. And then we can just discriminate against who we want to because this is who we are. These are Christian values, you know.
Mm-mm. And I think the thing that really, really upsets me is that for you to quote unquote have these Christian values, where's the sympathy? Where's the empathy? Where's the understanding?
Jesus would never allow sinners in his midst, Karen. We all know
that's
this.
That's some bullshit, honey.
Jesus was the first person to say, he said himself, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And he don't have no sin, so he threw the first stone, and he's like, now it's y'all turn, go ahead. I just wanted to be first. I don't think there's any defense for it. I mean,
no,
just don't
not.
Send your kids to this shit. I don't,
right.
I mean, some people want to send their kids there anyway, I guess.
Right, but if my child was there, they wouldn't go there no more.
Yeah, it's just, man, you Christians know? Are so, getting to be so weird, man. Like, I mean, I guess it's always been weird, but it's getting to the point where it's like, they think Christianity is discrimination.
Right.
For some Christians, it feels like they don't think there's a difference between discrimination and being a Christian. It's just like, well, obviously, if you're a Christian, that means that people that do X, X, and X should never be in your presence and you're not to be around them and they can't be good people. They can't be saved.
Right.
They shouldn't be educated at our university. Cause let's think about it. Let's say someone is Christian and they do feel like it's a sin that they got pregnant and they do feel like it's a sin that they had an abortion or they do feel like it's a sin that they were gay or whatever. I'm not saying I agree with any of that shit, but let's say that they did. Why would you then say, well, you can't be educated at a university because this happened to you? Like, because you did this, you can never be educated here.
Right. And the thing is like you're sweeping across the board when you talk about gays and lesbians and women, basically anything that we feel morally that's wrong.
It's just about punishment.
Right.
It's about sexual punishment though. It's not correct. It's not about punishing anything they feel is wrong, because there's no like, also if we catch your ass eating shrimp, it's a wrap. Right. Okay, buddy. I'm just saying, if we find out you tithing 9%,
it's gonna be some repercussions.
Yo, if I catch you wearing pants up in this church, like, it's not like they're kicking people out for everything. They're just kicking people out for the sexual things, which, you know, shows the where their hangups are.
Right. And honestly, I hope a lot of people put their children out. You know, the money talks. So if enough people stop going there, this rule will change, because they don't want to fold the university up because of a goddamn rule that a lawyer came.
They say they're not gonna even fucking use it. Well, they're like, we're not going to discriminate next year.
Well, then why did you go through the process?
Just for the right, I guess. The FDA overturns a 30-year policy on blood donations from gay men.
What?
Yeah. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Monday finalized a rule that will allow gay men to donate blood 12 months after their last sexual contact with another man, overturning a 30-year policy in which men who had sex with men could not donate blood.
Honey, I don't care what you are. If you saving my life, I don't care what sexual lifestyle you have, as long as your shit is clean, I don't care.
Yeah, basically before this, it was you just weren't allowed to give blood at all if you were gay. So now you have if you haven't had sex with a man, it's always men, by the way.
Right.
If you haven't had sex with another man for 12 months, you can give blood. Now, I don't think that applies to straight people at all. I don't think there's on your last sexual activity as to if you can or cannot get blood.
All you do is take the blood and screen it and test for the same thing. Like, it to me, the whole, all this is bullshit. And I guarantee you, the only reason why they lift this ban, it got to be a shortage of blood somewhere. Because if it's not a shortage of blood somewhere, they would not lift this ban.
Mm-hmm.
Believe you me, it's a reason why. And why, like you say, I could go have sex with somebody today and draw blood tomorrow. I can have sex right before I walk in there and they're gonna draw my blood and keep pushing.
I also don't understand. I mean, first of all, the principle of it is that it should be the same for everybody.
Right.
Okay, that's the principle of it. What I don't understand is, how do they enforce this? Like, can I just walk in? Like, can I just be like fresh off a dick and be like, yo, I haven't had sex for 12 months, take my blood.
Right, because you're going to screen it for the same shit. What are we talking about
here?
Yeah,
how would they know? Like, they should just take it out because it's just so arbitrary. Like,
right.
The person just has to be like, nah, I haven't had sex in 12 months. Oh, okay then.
Right, because they're not going to check your background.
How do you even check for that shit?
You can't. You have to take the person's word.
Yeah. So, all right. Let me smell your breath. Oh, kind of spermy. I think you're lying about the 12 months. I mean, how the fuck are you going to know?
Right. And I guess the thing for me, I mean, Do they walk in there, they draw blood, and rainbows come out of it? Do they go in there and sparkles?
Well,
I mean, how do you know?
If you ever have been, because I've had to have blood transfusion before, and I remember I was like, you know, what kind of blood is this? And they said, it's definitely not gay blood. And I said, okay. So I took their word for it, and then when I got up to leave, I was like... And I was like, hold up, man, I think y'all might have gave me a gay batch, man. I can't help myself, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because this
how would you fucking know? You right. Just hop up from the table like, there is something I want to ask you,
right? I mean, because the thing is, they're constantly asking for blood. They're constantly having blood drives at y'all works, around the corners, at the Walmart. Like, they're constantly having blood drives. And the thing is, so if you gay prior to this, you walk up in there, they be like, nah, we just can't take your blood. Not today. Not you.
I guess.
Well, then why y'all constantly begging for blood? Don't y'all want anybody's blood?
I don't give shit to the Red Cross now. Now that I know they don't like gay people. I'm like, well, right. Then, oh, well. Good luck, everybody. Isn't it crazy that the It's like, we, our mission is to help the world, right, and to heal everybody. Whoa, 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 back up, gay boy. We don't need none of that shit. Anyway, sorry, little Timmy, you gonna die. What are you, O negative? Oh man, that is too bad for you. Right. All we had was gay men for the O negative, and so you just got to die. I'm sorry.
Right. You know, for the person that does quote unquote missionary for the Red Cross and traveling to all these countries where you could get malaria, mysteria, and all this other shit in all these foreign countries out there, you can do that being gay. We don't mind you doing that, going out to these war-torn countries and shit like that, traveling all across America, helping people, finding people places to stay, helping people, you know, from when their houses burned down. You could do that shit, but don't give no blood.
Yeah, you keep that gay blood over by yourself.
Right.
So run that gay blood, run that blood through the test, and let us know if it's straight or gay. Okay, just go ahead and test that real quick.
Oh. Oh, damn, the spotlights. Come on, dog.
All this glitter. All
right. The clearly, balloons, come on, dog.
Clearly this tested gay. Let's just turn this blood back in.
Right.
Sorry, little kid, you have to die.
Today, right.
You know how it is, man. So close. You were so close.
To living, right.
You almost got to live.
Right.
Just all you need was like one pint.
That's
but it was too gay. It was too gay, man. Mm-hmm. You never, next thing you know, you're going to come out here, you're going to be gay. Then you're going to be suing us. I can't have that.
Nope, can't have that at all.
This is a short one. That GOP Kentucky governor took, he ordered the county clerk's names to be removed from marriage licenses.
Why?
Cause they'll never get held up by that Kim Davis type shit again. Like, whether you're for or against the principle of the idea that someone could just be like, I'm Christian, I'm not signing this shit, which I'm totally against them being able to do that.
I
feel like she should have been forced to resign.
Right. He's like, fuck it, nobody's name gonna be on it, so it don't matter who does it.
But as in the spirit of pragmatism and real and being realistic, I'm totally okay with them just being like, you know what, let's just take all the names off, and that way we don't have to worry about this shit. And I hope in a year or two, I hope we get massive layoffs of all those people, because what the fuck do you do here if you don't do this?
Right, and it's gonna cause problems, because A, nobody's gonna be able to keep track of your work, because you know your signature probably is, you know, that's probably how to keep track of your work.
Right.
So they're not gonna be able to keep track of your work, and a lot of the shit they do, that shit should be motherfucking done online. I should be able to get a marriage license online. I should be able to get divorce papers online, because all you do is want my money. Here's my fucking PayPal. Give me my papers. Turn on my webcam. Let's do it right here and go on about my business. And the thing is, I think they should erase the names, because you know what? States are tired of shit being held up and people fucking protesting outside their
municipalities.
Thank you. Because of your ass. Like, there's like, we don't have time for this. People want to be able to come to work, and they don't want to be protested coming in and out of the office every day because of you. So fuck it, nobody's name's on here.
Yeah. What I would say also, though, because someone said about that Red Cross jokes we was making, is a national standard. Yeah, but I can't name anybody else that gives blood. Come on, man, roll with these jokes or don't. those bakers who were up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The original, you know, I feel bad for
the
them,
OGs.
The original conservatives that were making a fuss in Oregon that got passed over by these new y'all cater people.
Mm-hmm.
They have been ordered that they have to pay that bigot fine for not wanting to make those sweet cakes.
All right.
Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Aaron Klein, a co-owner of Portland-based bakery, paid $136,000 on Monday after a two-year battle over the issue. He and his staff have refused to make a wedding cake for the same-sex couple, Laurel and Rachel Bowman Cryer, saying that it was against their religious beliefs.
Good.
I'm gonna give a little bit of advice to all our gay listeners, though. If you getting gay married, call around.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just settle. You call around and you tell them it's a gay marriage until you get a no. And that's the one you decide on, because that's how you're going to get paid. You could pay for a whole wedding. You know how fucking baller your wedding can be for $136,000, man?
Shit.
I'll be flying in giraffes and shit. Come on, man.
Shit.
It's worth it. Just make a few extra calls, man. Don't stop until you get enough. Just make sure you when you call them on the phone, as you are calling in the background, it should be like... Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Hey! Yes! Let's get married! You should start that shit like that. I would, nigga, please.
I know! They pick up the phone, you be like, oh, wait a minute, let me get this dick out my mouth.
Right, I would come in the most stereotypically offensive gay outfit I could find.
What?
I'd be like, why is this dude in a halter top and it's tied around his chest?
Right,
like
shit.
It's only covering his nipples. What is going on with this guy? I'm here for my sweet cakes. They'd be like, god damn it.
Right, shit. I fucking roller skate in there with glow sticks. Fuck with me.
Right. I want my cake to have 3 dicks on it.
I would find me like a hat or a cap that I could push and it'd be his own fucking strobe light and roll my ass up in there.
Right. Y'all, they were, man.
They be so mad at me.
I couldn't wait to sue their ass.
What?
Sir, we not gonna be able to do this wedding. Jackpot! Yes! Can you write that down?
Yes! I come in like TMZ. Everything, I hope you know everything's being recorded right now.
I will call home. Baby, we about to go to Hawaii!
What? Destination wedding. We gonna fly all the family out.
We about to come up!
Right, Bermuda, here we come!
Oh, why can't they have, that's the only thing I miss about racism.
Right, yeah.
Can we have overtly racist delis and shit so I can be like, yes, I have a black wedding, if you know what I'm saying, and I would like you to pay for it, you dumb motherfuckers.
What you mean I can't have no black ham? Is it because I'm black?
Yeah, this case is not about a wedding cake or a marriage. It's about a business's refusal to serve someone because of their sexual orientation under Oregon law, which is illegal, said the judge during the ruling.
Right.
Yep. On the Sweet Cakes website, the owner cite a Bible passage that reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son that that's different. I thought it was only begotten. Maybe that's down here.
Depending on the translation.
I never heard begotten using it any other word anyway. Mm-mm. Any other context. It's not like, hey man, let me get one of the chicken nuggets. Oh man, this my only begotten one, dog.
All the one I got left, I ain't willing to sacrifice it.
Let me borrow $5. Oh, it's my only forgotten five, bro. Hey, you should have asked me about 10 minutes ago. I had 2 forgotten ones. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In their eyes, that world that God loves so much apparently just did not include gay people. Yeah, I just including a religious quote on your site, I guess it's supposed to scare gay people off.
Mm-mm.
Like, no, can't get a cake here.
Yeah, they are gay people that are Christians. I hope people realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that can't exist? Just.
Ain't no gay Christians, Karen. Mm-hmm. Ain't no gay Christians, B.
If you say so, I don't believe you.
Man. I wish a nigga would. Like I said, I mean, I don't want racism to stay, but like, if it was profitable,
right?
Boy, I'd be making some calls. Boy, I'd be making some calls.
Right, honey.
Down here too. Oh, be yeah, calling motherfuckers every 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know
y'all still racist? I heard y'all was. Right. I be putting my friends on like as a Groupon. Hey man, hey, call Conservative Christian Council Bakery and ask them to make a cake with the Black Power Fist on it. Yeah man, you can come up, dog. Hey, go ahead. Hey man, we going to Vegas. Better hurry up, for the line is busy off the hook right now.
I know, right?
God damn it, who is this? It's Tyrone, and I definitely want a cake with the Outcast woman with the titties on it. Let's get it done. I'll see you in court. A process server will be coming over in 5 minutes. I serve my shit myself.
All right.
You been served. See you in court, you stupid motherfuckers. Man, if we could just make bigotry not profitable, man.
All right.
But there's a goddamn Republican Party, so. Kevin Swanson says Hillary Clinton will lead tremendous majorities of American kids to homosexuality. That's right, you guys guessed it.
Here's a judge in Massachusetts clamped down on a Catholic school. He ruled that they were guilty of discrimination because they rescinded a job offer to a man later discovered to be a homosexual. Evidently, he interviewed for a job as director of food services at Fontbonne Academy, an all-girls Catholic school, 2013. Offered the job, he listed his husband as his emergency contact, and the school rescinded the offer. Well, Judge Douglas Wilkins ruled the academy was guilty of discrimination, despite the school arguing that Barrett's lifestyle was inconsistent with its teaching. Now, this, again, a violation of freedom on hundreds of levels. Okay, you go back hundreds and hundreds of years, and you look at the 800.
By the way, anytime you gotta say, if you go back hundreds of years, that's never good.
No, it's not.
Nothing good was happening hundreds and hundreds of years ago except for white people.
Come on,
and
now.
I mean, by white people, I mean white men mostly. When people do, if you go back hundreds of years, you'll see when we were beating the niggers.
Right. Nobody else had no rights. Nobody else had no freedoms.
Right.
Third year legacy of freedom in the Western world. And you can
not to mention hundreds of years ago, religious bigotry and intolerance. What's the problem? It's kind of why America got started.
Right. America got started because y'all was like, fuck y'all rules. No, we ain't paying to the queen.
Right.
We coming over here and taking somebody else's shit and calling it our own.
Church was like, we about this religious persecution, my man. You know, we doing it. We doing it big, man. We tying niggas up, man. We crusading on motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, we torturing motherfuckers and making them admit the sins and shit. Like, this is what we're about.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, so y'all just going to leave and go to America. Okay.
You can read it in my book, Freedom, just released. I encourage you to get it.
Hold up. He got a book called Freedom. How the fuck is that title not already taken?
Come on. All the fucking Freedom books.
Ann Coulter ain't start with that one first.
Come on.
She probably called it free dumb and then D-U-M-B and then semicolon how the left is stealing all the knowledge from our children in their terrorist attack on America.
Copy for all your kids and grandkids, because this heritage is something we've got to hang on to over the next 80 years. Got to, if you've got the courage and the faith to do it. But this is the attack on freedom on 100 different levels. I mean, you're talking about...
Okay, name 50. Go.
Oh, that ain't happening.
Property rights. These people ought to have the right to hire and fire whoever they will.
Wait, property rights? He didn't even describe property next. Property rights. All right. Damn. So that was one.
Come on.
That was one of my 99.
That was one.
Also, bathroom rights. Think about it. Next. Number two. Number three. Push-ups.
Oh, Lord.
Are you with me? I think you are. Number four.
The property rights. The basic freedom. But then, of course, religious freedom. The celebration of homosexuality.
No, he really didn't even go into, details with how it was a property rights violation.
Because it don't matter. Like, he's just talking. You don't really matter about facts or making points. This is the right-wing watch station.
Yeah, you're right.
And preparation for the Greek form of education, which, as you know, involves whatever's going on in the gymnasium.
Right.
Very, very ugly stuff. Okay, I don't want to get into a lot of the details, but that's the direction.
The Greek form of education. So the gay food resource person will somehow lead to Greco-Roman wrestling, or just the Greek saunas where men and boys had sex back in the old days, because that is what being gay means, is that you are also a pedophile and you won't be able to keep your hands off those sweet young kids.
We're going the direction of Harry Potter's mentor and Hiccup's mentor in How to Train Your Dragon. That's the direction we're headed. And you know, obvious. It's incredibly obvious.
Now, How to Train That Dragon.
You can do that. You can just
apparently cite so.
Fictional worlds and just be like, that's real? How can that be a thing? How can he have a job?
Training them how to be gay.
You can just say that. You can just, it's going to be just like Harry Potter. Remember that? Dumbledore. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. It's going to be just like Snape. And that's what the problem is.
Yes, it is.
You know, will you look at how Hermione was acting?
Right. Harry Potter and the Magical Gaze.
Do they know those movies are made up? Maybe that's why they believe in all that stuff in that book. They think Harry Potter real too. Maybe that's what he's like. The Bible 3, Harry Potter. It's just a continuation of all the miracles. A burning bush. What's the difference between that joint and a talking troll? Same shit to me. And I only seen one of them. I never seen the burning bush talking, but I seen that little talking troll. You know,
movie screen told me.
I seen a hat telling people what school they was going to.
Yeah, I seen that too.
Maybe that's why I'm just going to start citing Harry Potter when motherfuckers bring up religious arguments. I'm going to be like, I believe it was First Slytherin, chapter 3.
Verse 5.
that said, let he who is without sin.
Let's look in the Old Testament, Harry Potter.
Let's look in the Old Testament, turn to Deathly Hallows. What the fuck?
I mean, these guys aren't trying to hide anything, ladies and gentlemen. Not trying to hide us. Not trying to hide us. They're idealizing the Greek form of education. This is the direction we're heading. And this is what this judge is doing, Judge Douglas Wilkins, by inviting homosexuals into Christian schools now.
It's going to be the churches here fairly soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think freedom's got much of a chance in the near future.
Hold up. Gay people being in a church very soon. Gay people been in your church.
Right. They've been there for a long time.
And what's funny is pedophiles have been involved in church, but y'all protected them.
Come on now.
Y'all protected them. Y'all said, how can we keep these people from facing punishment
and push them
for
around
their acts? So I don't know. Why are you so nervous? Gay people been there going to church, being fine just every week. Not touching no kids.
Right.
Pedophiles been
jumping
up in there.
Them around like paper.
Yeah, getting shoveled around like a deck of cards.
Right. You don't know where they're going to show up next and what child they're going to touch.
Oh, send Father McConaughey to send them to California.
Right.
The kids out there haven't been touched in ages.
Sure. That's why all we can do right now is write books and train our children if we still have the opportunity to give them a biblical world and life view. Keep them out of the public schools so they won't be polytheists and socialists. Which is exactly what the public schools will tell you they will train your kids to be. If you can keep them out of those schools, and for at least a generation we can pull off a very slim minority of kids who are trained in a biblical way of thinking. If we can get a shot at this, freedom will have a shot. But for the 2016 elections, I'd give Hillary Clinton 80% chance. People are asking me. Republicans, they're very unified. Everybody's coming around one candidate. Everything's just, I mean, it's just going so smooth.
For the Republicans?
Yeah. No. It's not looking good for the Republicans.
They're not unified at all.
I'd give Hillary Clinton an 80% chance of getting elected in 2016. Again, friends, I don't know what God's going to do. God could have mercy on this nation. That's why I'm not saying it's 100% chance for Hillary Clinton. But this is the direction we're headed as a nation.
Is his mercy Donald Trump? That's God's mercy to America? Anyway,
there is zero indication of any real repentance going on in this nation. And I've called the nation to repentance in the public forum, and I was severely mocked for it. Of course, everybody knows that.
What does that even fucking mean? I didn't hear this dude talking about repentance for America. He didn't come to my house. Mm-mm. Hey, guys, I don't know if you got the memo. Repentance, 3:00. You going to be there? Going to be coffee and donuts. All right. See you there.
But that's not my concern. My concern is not what the media thought about a call to repentance to this nation. And I looked at sexual sin, not just homosexuality, but I drew in other forms of sin as well. But here's my question. Where across the nation do we even find a little bit of repentance going on in nooks and crannies? I mean, tiny little churches somewhere where, you know, there's actually, you know, 60 people coming to repentance. And they're falling on their faces and with humble and contrite hearts before God, and worshiping God and repenting of sin, and we begin to see profound changes occurring in tiny little nooks and crannies. I would love to see a little bit, I mean a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of repentance going on somewhere across this country. And I'm just not seeing it. Now, if I don't see it in the nooks and crannies, why in the world would God bless the nation? That's my question.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Why
is the other guy just there so that he can take a breath?
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Catch your breath, dog.
That's right.
I got you.
The last thing you said.
Wouldn't Hillary Clinton get full reign upon this nation to continue the destructive pattern, destroy the...
Okay, this started with a judge and not letting a Christian school discriminate against a gay man. Mm-hmm. We got... Okay, it took 4 minutes. We got to Hillary Clinton. Here we go.
Social fabric of the nation, the family, of course. So that, of course, there will be 75% of kids born outside of wedlock to single mothers by the year 2030. And so to be sure that...
Where did that number come from?
Right!
Well, we all know if Hillary gets the job, that's the Antichrist. So, I mean, it's...
Right. People just gonna be like, marriage, fuck it.
Yeah, no more marriages in America because Hillary's there. Because you know that's the thing that makes you decide whether or not to get married, but not whether or not to have a kid, is that who's in office as president. You know, I got married when George Bush was still around. I mean,
well, shit, we sure did.
Thank God we didn't wait till Obama was in.
I clear.
You'd be single with 3 babies right now, and I'd be somewhere in these streets.
Be in a hotel.
Tremendous majorities of American kids are taken down the track towards homosexuality, towards the destruction of sexuality, with pornography habits, illegitimate divorce, the shack up rates being 30 times what they were in 1970 and so forth.
How is Hillary responsible for all that? What?
It's Democrats' fault for everything.
Of course, that's the direction the nation is heading right now. Why? Because there is so little repentance and so few calls for repentance on the part of the pastors and the local churches across this country.
I can't wait for that dude to get caught doing something sexually illegal and deviant. So yeah, that was gay news. Let's get into some regular straight people news, like Tyga getting accused of being a pedophile. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm getting a lot of this news from BallAlert.com. So, you know, prepare yourself, everybody. the 14-year-old girl who was getting contacted on Instagram by Tyga Speaks Out. I noticed in the picture Gloria Allred was had her arm around her.
Mm-hmm.
And
say what you want about that woman. Yeah, she bought that money.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, I think I just grew up kind of being told, and not by my parents, but just peer pressure in general, that you're supposed to hate Gloria Allred. And I don't really know when that started.
Me either.
Cause I mean, even when she was representing women that, you know, had legit grievances.
She was immediately dismissed.
Yeah. And it was always like, if you get her, then I'm not going to pay attention to what you have to say. But it's like, you weren't going to pay attention to what they had to say anyway.
Come on now.
Like, basically this woman would have suffered in silence and nothing would ever happen. Now, I'm not saying all her clients and all her cases are good and on the up and up and shit.
Right.
I mean, obviously, she is a lawyer and, you know,
she's doing a job and she's getting paid.
But it's kind of like the Al Sharpton thing where everybody's kind of taught to hate him. But really what you hate is these racial issues that keep coming back up
in your face and you're tired of seeing them and they won't go away. And
you don't want to. Yeah. You associate him with it. And now you have a Pavlovian response.
Yep, and the sad part about it, regardless if he's right, and same thing with her, regardless if she's right, you don't even want to hear if she's right, wrong, or indifferent, because you automatically get that.
Yeah. Anyway, I had to look more. Man, it has to be a book or a documentary or something on her.
Yeah.
Something
she's
I could
been
look
around
up.
A very long time. Somebody
cause
got something.
You know, because my thing isn't, oh, she's a saint. Mm-mm. Just like I don't think Al Sharpton's a saint, but I know that in general, it doesn't matter when Al Sharpton's right or wrong. People just always kind of dismiss him. And that's not okay because a lot of times he is right.
Right.
And he is representing somebody that we wouldn't know about Trayvon Martin if not for Al Sharpton.
Come on, dog.
You know, like it took, like, you have to take the good with the bad. You have to get credit where it's doing stuff. And I'm not saying that he's perfect because I'm sure there's people that have legit grievances with that dude and
right
whatever
and they're valid and everything.
Yeah,
right.
I'll never be able to, you know, speak on those because I'm not privy to all of them. But the point being, a lot of people just have a reflex towards any person on TV talking about racial injustice. They have that same they had that same reflex when they see a J Smoove video. They had that same reflex when they see DeRay and Netta, you know, they had the same reflex when they see Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Like, so you, like, they want you to be fatigued. And I think Gloria Allred is one of those people that people just get fatigued. Like, oh, here she goes. It's about to be some bullshit, whatever it is, whether it's legit or whether it's not legit.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not saying this means all her shit is legit. So right. Let's just, nobody write in with that shit. The 14-year-old girl from New York who Tiger was rumored to be reaching out to has been forced to reveal herself. Last month, OK Magazine reported that Tiger began contacting a 14-year-old girl who's an aspiring model after following her on Instagram. It went from a DM exchange to the two eventually texting each other. A portion of their DM conversation leaked online, which you can read here. I think we already read that. It appears the reports on OK Magazine may have been true. Molly O'Malia, the 14-year-old, in question, and her lawyer Gloria Allred held a press conference today blasting the magazine for portraying the high school freshman poorly. She says the magazine poorly pixelated Molly's image and reiterated that Tiger was the initiate of the conversation with Molly, not the other way around, and that the only reason Molly responded is because she's an aspiring singer and thought Tiger wanted to talk to her about her music. She said that once Tiger asked to FaceTime, she got freaked out. She says that Tiger asked her to FaceTime three times. She declined because she was highly uncomfortable. Allred also says OK Magazine's claim that the two were hooking up is also untrue. There's no talk of a lawsuit, however. So, which is another function of Gloria Allred. Sometimes she just does a press conference to get somebody's story out there.
Right. Sometimes she don't even sue.
Yeah. Like, right. People always make it seem like, oh, this bitch is out here to get this. But sometimes it's just like, okay, this person's going to say what they have to say. And it's kind of this weird thing. Like, if something happens to you as a person, as a woman or a girl or something like that, she probably is going to be on the short list of people you will call to be like, how can I get my story out there? Because
mm-hmm.
Getting the media together and all that shit, it is a skill. All
right, and she's great at it.
Yeah. Anyway, comments. Hating ass Terrell Jones. He was hot off the press. He was fresh on this. I'm sorry. Nicole was first. Nicole says, shaking my head, the world population is what? And he has to mess with an underage girl, and I would kill my daughter if she was a damn Instagram model at 14. Fuck out of here. Yep, she had to kill her daughter. Beautiful Brownie says, given his reputation, why would he even be communicating with her? Oh, nasty. So Luscious says, he's pure trash. Sugar Bear says, if there's no talk of a lawsuit, what's the point of a press conference? By the way, I don't know what an Instagram model necessarily entails.
Mm-mm.
I hear various things. I hear they getting flown out. They're trying to fuck these ball players and stuff. So maybe that's why Nicole thinks that, but while she's saying that, she has a picture in her avatar of a girl with like scantily clad. Like, I don't know the rules of the internet and who's what. Maybe this is somebody famous, maybe it's her, but whatever it is, it seems weird that you got an Instagram model looking photo as your avatar, as you're being like, this 14-year-old girl, what's wrong with her? Hey, Nas Terrell Jones says, she a young asshole. You don't look 14. You look like a Cali wannabe who out there already fucking, if you ask me. You fake crying in a press conference because he wanted to FaceTime you? Stop playing victim, bitch. Did you ever think he wanted to FaceTime you because you could be catfishing? How can somebody give you a job or work with you if they can't talk to you face to face? You a young, goofy bitch.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? So this, okay, this makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the little girl everybody was floating up and down my timeline going, she don't look, she looked like she should be 21.
Oh, really? I didn't even see this. That's what was happening on Twitter?
Right. Okay. This shit makes sense now because, I see people going, well, she, you know, they were saying that she looks older than mm-hmm. she actually was, you know, and it was one of those things where it don't fucking matter what now she looks like. Her age is what matters, dog. And he has a record of fucking young girls. He fucks that young child. Everybody knew it, but because there's money involved, nobody gave a fuck. He needs to be in goddamn jail.
And by a young child, you're talking about that Kardashian girl?
Right.
Okay. Tiger's text to 14-year-old got leaked as well. Trying to make sure I got these all in order. Oh, also Tiger denied that there was any like type of romantic situation with him and this 14-year-old girl. He denied reaching out for those purposes on Monday. You know, she held that press conference. But after that, he said he did reach out to her, but not to hook up with her. Tiger's manager, Anthony Martini, tells TMZ that Tiger reached out to the team because she was a talented singer, had a strong following. He was considering her for his Last Kings label and was strictly PG. He also says that Molly told him she was 17 in their text messages. Martini says that Tiger in the back and forth, all Tiger asked was for Molly to send him music and things never got uncomfortable. He says that when Tiger asked to FaceTime, it was to talk business and see her sing as he sat in the studio with his producers.
Hmm.
Well, I will say this is one of the reasons you probably shouldn't fuck underage girl,
right,
and make that your biggest public relationship.
Come on now, making songs about her and shit.
People are gonna always think it's suspect when you contact the underage girl for any purpose after this point.
Correct. No, and it really even might be legit. I don't care. I just began to question everything about you,
except for hey Nas Terrell Jones, who says people keep trying to expose this man. I'm sorry, but if I was him, I would have fucked Callie too. She worth millions. She look good. She young. And if he didn't fuck her little fast ass, somebody else would. And not to mention his money goes up just by being connected to her. Any man who wouldn't fuck her is stupid. I wonder why everybody's coming down on Tiger, but gave Paul Walker a pass when he was 33 years old and was dating a 16-year-old. Molly 14 and already an asshole. Damn, he keep calling this little girl an asshole.
Right!
So Luscious says, there's no legit reason for him to be reaching out to a child, and what was the purpose of the press conference? Where are her parents? Beautiful Brownie says, I knew nothing about Paul Walker dating someone that young until after the accident. Please believe, if I would have known, it still would have been nasty. Apparently, Hollywood is full of purrs. Selena says, wrong is wrong. No matter who it is, if you're an adult messing with children, then you are scum. As an adult, you know what happens when sex is involved, so stop these lame excuses. Hey, Nas Terrell Jones had to come back and get some more. Man, he is feisty lately. He just loves some Tiger. He must be listening to Tiger right now.
Right, rocking it hard.
He is a rapper and has been for at least 10 years, and he owns a record label, so he does have a reason to contact her. He's looking for talent. All he did was ask for FaceTime to hear her sing, and now she traumatized for life. Get the fuck out of here. Tiger started dating Kylie 6 months before she was legal. Big fucking deal. I'm glad he was smart enough to wipe Kylie up before she caught all those bodies on her resume like Kim did. Why couldn't Molly just give the phone to her parents so they could negotiate a deal or a meeting? I know why. Because she's full of shit.
Who hurt you?
Sugar Bear says, so he doubles as a talent scout for his company instead of hiring an A&R person?
Right, and let them contact her. Let them, this is their job.
Yeah.
And let them schedule the meeting and you show your ass up with you and 15 other people like it normally goes down.
You know, Instagram looking for talent.
DMing people and shit. Come on, dog.
Well, Terrell has a comeback for that too, Karen. It's not like he's an established... He has an established label like Interscope or something. It's just a startup label. so he probably has to do everything himself. All he did was ask for FaceTime. I didn't know that was illegal. Why didn't she just have him deal with her parents? And why haven't we heard anything from her parents? Because she's an attention-seeking whore. Plain and simple, there's a lot of 14-year-old assholes, and she's one of them. And then, of course, the text leaked. TMZ got a hand on the text. By the way, I mean,
TMZ be knowing.
My thing is, well, it could be from Tiger. I don't know.
Right, he might have leaked it.
You know, matter of fact, where's my fucking phone? I didn't say you had it.
Oh.
You said it like I was accusing you or something. Hey, you been messing with my phone, nigga?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I was like, I ain't got it.
Okay, so it looks like if this is an iPhone, your text, his text would be in the blue, and her text would be gray.
Yeah, normally what you send out is blue.
If it's an iPhone, I don't know. Yeah. But here's the text.
And it look like it is.
The texts are, out to get food, H-B-U-U. I don't know what that means. How, H-B-U-U? What is that internet slang for? I guess when you when you're dating a 14-year-old.
I ain't got shit in common with a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't even speak the same language half the time.
Yep, I don't know. Well, H-B-U-B-U, I don't know what that means.
All the emoji clapping and shit, and I'll be just goddamn confused. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. About to go to the studio. How old are you? These are texts from, he sent these screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm leaning towards maybe he didn't do it, Karen. Why would he send text? You see what I'm saying? Like, why would the screenshots be from him if he was lying? But, you know, we'll never know. Also, he has 465 unanswered messages. So, he is kind of light-skinned. What's up? FT me. FaceTime me. I'm not home, LOL. Where are you, LOL? Rehearsal. Dope. Dancing? I sing. Smiley face. And then he had the, like, oh my god type big eyes emoji, like he was stunned. Want to hear, I'll send you videos later, but hey, guess what? And then he had the like thumb hand under the chin emoji. I'm probably moving out to LA sometime soon, hopefully by this summer. You should. Where you live now? Delaware. Laugh my ass off. How old are you? Only 17. So another detail that he said that she lied about, and now here's a screenshot of her lying. If this screenshot is real, you know what I'm saying? Like, if right. This isn't like something he faked. Whoa, when's your B-day? Ha ha, yeah, most people think I'm older, but May 22. I thought you were way older. Most people do, ha ha ha. Send me some music though. I will. And he had the cool emoji with some glasses. And then the last part of the text message, she says, hey. Now, there's only one comment on this one. Guess who was wrong? You rotten lying ass bitch. So I wonder what niggas got to say about Tiger now. I told y'all this little bitch was an asshole. I hope he sue her trap mouth ass. Everybody say, I didn't know what trap mouth mean.
I don't know what trap mouth ass do we need to go
No, I'm not doing that. Everybody's saying Tiger a creep. Need to apologize for the comments they were making on this site. Y'all too quick to judge these black men. Stop taking these scallywags side all the time. Haven't heard anything about Derrick Rose's accuser in a while either. I wonder what happened. Shaking my head. That's right. Hating ass Terrell Jones about black solidarity, y'all. And y'all was just trying to frame a black man. You scallywags.
Oh, meth mouth. That's another interpretation to trap mouth.
Okay.
So you know what Urban Dictionary said.
That mayor got, they got murdered in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
How much you think it costs to get a Mexican mayor killed on day one of taking office.
A lot of money.
$30,000.
That's all?
That's it.
Wow. She might not even made that much.
Mm-hmm. Giselle Mota, the first female mayor of the Mexican city of Temixco, spent just one day in office before she was gunned down in her own home by a team of assassins. The team reportedly tied Mota up and beat her before shooting her in the head.
Shit.
Two suspects died in an insurance sewer shootout with the police, and another three, including a 32-year-old woman and an 18-year-old man, were taken into custody. In a statement, the state's prosecutor's office reported that loads of ammunition, a 9mm pistol, an Uzi submachine gun, bulletproof vest, balaclavas, the mask things, were recovered from the suspect's vehicle. One of the detained suspects, a government source told the Mexican newspaper Reforma, said the team of assassins was paid roughly $29,000 to murder the mayor. The whole team? Though it was unclear whether the payment was paid to each of the perpetrators or to the group. Oh, okay. And that her name was one of at least half a dozen others on the teen's kill list.
Mm-hmm. I knew she, that probably was the first deposit.
Authorities say a group called Los Rojos may have contracted the killing in apparent retaliation for Moto's support for a National Unified State Police Command intended to replace local police departments. Which is all to say that the $30,000 may have been better spent. This week, Graco Ramirez, the governor of Morales, reportedly ordered police departments in at least 15 municipalities to cede control to the state security commission.
Right. So they're like, you know what? We're tired of these little subdivisions that people are coming in and taking over and paying off. We going to make it where everybody make it larger. And with this, you know, we can investigate, find out who's doing all this bullshit. They was like, fuck that.
Yep. Wild shit, man. President Obama spoke about guns today, and you know, used the power that he has to try to create some executive action on background checks and gun safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
He also cried while talking about it, talking about the kids that got killed at Sandy Hook. And Andrea Tentaros, no stranger to the show, gave her theory on why the president cried.
And he listed some of the times in which he feels that our inalienable rights for the pursuit of joy and happiness and so on and so forth were robbed. Aurora, Colorado, the movie theater shooting, the mass shooting at Santa Barbara, outside of UC Santa Barbara, Newtown, Connecticut, Columbine. And lastly, he said, and teared up as he talked about it, his own home city of Chicago. And then a turn from those tears that the president wiped away on his face back to politics and telling people that voters need to remember, come election time, which leaders are standing in the way of gun safety, in his opinion.
I think when I watched that, what was really upsetting was the tears that he wiped away again and again. Yeah. You want that for, I mean, we feel frightened about what's going on with ISIS. And he can't pull that kind of passion for anything.
What the fuck, woman?
If he was up here crying about fucking ISIS, y'all would be calling him every level of bitch.
Right, for having compassion.
This is why we don't have strong leadership. Who you think the terrorists are scared of him? He's crying.
But this, and I feel bad about those kids in Connecticut.
Do you? No, do you? You ice cold motherfucker? Do you?
Why did I
doubt it. I feel terrible about them. They're just like another talking point that I can use to get to another talking point.
Without question. I mean, your heart breaks for them.
Right.
But it's only about this that he gets so upset about, and never about terror.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day.
That was a little out of here to the black people.
Do you have the speech? I haven't heard
Little blackness shown through right there.
How long is that speech?
I don't know. I'm not playing the whole speech though.
No, not the whole speech.
Anyway, the pertinent clip was played. He was crying.
Okay.
Well, many of us cried big tears the day that Sandy Hook happened. There have been so many times that we've had our hearts broken.
Y'all did, you really? Did not cry. Y'all were on did the air talking really? About it within minutes, like, oh, this is another shooting of some kids. Oh, I don't know. Well,
did you really?
Just don't take our guns. This is a good time. Speaking of which, good time to go out and get some guns, guys. Guns on sale, guns half off.
They went on sale.
Mm-hmm. Time to get some guns before Obama takes your guns. That's immediately what they talk. No, we don't want to talk politics. Just go buy some guns, okay?
God, he's why y'all bringing guns. Up guns now? Keys just got shot.
Mm-hmm.
But as we come back after the couch, it was interesting to see the reactions among some of you when the president teared up. Why was that, Andrea?
Well, because if he really cared about an issue, especially like Chicago in his hometown, and it was plausible, he would be doing something very different than he's doing, and he would have spoken out a long time ago. I mean, this is how many years?
Wow, fuck you, bitch.
Why can't somebody shoot up Fox? You know what I mean? Like, all these spree killer motherfuckers out here, they're just shooting up McDonald's and right. wasting bullets in movie theaters.
Because
like,
they don't listen to nothing he fucking says. They act like this is the first time he's goddamn addressed this issue.
Go be infamous and shoot up the people on Fox. That'll be awesome. That's a joke. Hilarious.
Almost 8 years. He's almost at the end of his term. And you haven't heard him go to Chicago and really speak out about this issue. And he is uniquely poised to do so, really. But everything he's doing won't solve the problem. So I would check that podium for like a raw onion or some no more tears. I mean, it's not wow. really believable. I mean, and the award goes too. We are in award season.
I don't understand why he's doing.
The award goes to, it's award season. She couldn't believe that a person would be moved to tears thinking about those kids. Keep in mind, this is the man who met all those families.
Mm-hmm. Criticized for going and meeting the families.
Right after the tragedy, he met all those families.
All them dogs.
All those people who lost somebody, he talked to their remaining family members. The kids that were with, the kids that were, you know, older or younger, the parents that had no children now, and he has to do this for all of them. Like, all these tragedies, it takes a toll. And I'm proud to have somebody in the White House that is moved by this, unlike these heartless motherfuckers on Fox, who, you know, get paid to talk about this for a living.
Yeah.
And to try to stifle anything being done just to feed these old racist motherfuckers who watch that TV channel. Anyway, let's talk about his actual executive actions on guns and the elements that he's trying to bring to forefront. President Obama noting that more than 300,000 firearm-related U.S. deaths have come over the past decade, announced executive orders Tuesday aimed at reducing gun violence. The common sense reforms, which bypassed the Republican-controlled Congress, are opposed by critics, including the Republican 2016 presidential hopefuls, who argue that Obama's unilateral actions violate the U.S. Constitution and restrict law-abiding citizens' access to firearms. Here are the key elements of Obama's executive action: requiring background checks. The core of Obama's move involves firming up the existing system for conducting background checks on gun sales, notably by closing the gun show loophole,
right,
which exempts dealers at gun shows or online from conducting a background check before selling a weapon.
They should.
That's something that has been a huge loophole. And what it was designed, quote unquote, to do was for stuff like, hey, if my dad wants to give me a gun, or if I want to go to the flea market and get an antique gun, a collector's item. And what it turned into was major retailers being like, oh, we'll just go off the books and sell these guns face to face. And now we don't have background checks. You can show up on a Saturday, leave with a gun. Like,
right.
You know, strengthening the background check. Authorities will act to make the national instant criminal background check system more efficient, including improving state reporting to the system, hiring 230 more examiners to swiftly process checks around the clock, and modernizing digital aspects of NICS. A license for all the sellers. Anyone engaged in the business of selling firearms must now be licensed as a dealer, which will require that person or entity to perform background checks for all gun sales. There's no specific threshold that triggers the licensing requirement, and those who sell exclusively online or at gun shows can be considered dealers just as in person. This is a person running a brick and mortar store. Failure to comply with licensing requirements may result in a 5-year prison sentence and up to $250,000 fine.
And it makes sense. You're just bypassing the laws.
Expanding mental health treatment. Significant new resources are being dedicated to boosting access to mental health care, including a $500 million proposal to increase service capacity and ensuring that people with mental illness are prevented from acquiring guns. The Social Security Administration is to ensure that those with documented mental health issues are reported to NICS. That sucks because there's people that have issues of mental illness but aren't dangerous.
Right.
And shit, but at the same time, so many of these crimes come back down to people being like, well, they did have this issue and that issue, and they were able to get a gun within 24 hours and boom, and kill motherfuckers. And everybody, you know, well, we all knew he had issues, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. The reforms enable healthcare reporting mentally ill patients. The reforms enable healthcare providers to report names of mentally ill patients into the background check system. Healthcare privacy rules prevent doctors from sharing such data without consent of the patients, but the administration rules now allow healthcare providers to report to the NICS limited demographic and other necessary information about these individuals. Improve once again. That's kind of what do you call that? Profiling, mental health profiling.
Yes, it is.
Improving gun law enforcement. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch is vowing to conduct smart and effective enforcement of existing gun laws, including tracking illegal online firearms trafficking and enhancing the ballistic system that can help investigators link violent crimes across jurisdictions. Obama's 2017 budget will include funding for 200 new agents to help enforce gun laws. researching gun safety technology. Obama wants to boost research efforts to improve smart gun technology and has directed the Pentagon, Justice Department, and Department of Homeland Security to increase research on technology that will reduce accidents and improve tracing of lost or stolen guns. The agencies must report back to Obama in 90 days with strategy outlines. And lastly, combating domestic violence, Lynch issued a memo to the U.S. Attorney's Office to renew domestic violence outreach efforts. The goal is to provide additional resources to the state, local, and tribal law enforcement and for community groups to help fight the scourge and prevent domestic abuse from obtaining guns. Yeah, because so much domestic violence ends in death, which probably comes from a lot of guns. Yeah,
people get divorced, people get separated, all kinds of stuff, husband leaves, wife leaves, and somebody basically in their fit of rage, you go basically walk into Walmart, walk out with a gun, and go in the house and blow your brains out.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with that is that I do understand about the mentally ill. I just don't like the mentally ill profile because there are people that are mentally ill that function just fine.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I don't have a fucking solution, and honestly, I don't think anybody should have guns. Republicans propose Volkswagen bailout right after the U.S. government sues over emission lies. Yep. Basically, Volkswagen faked those emission tests. Basically, they made it so that when the emissions devices were hooked up to the cars, whenever you get your yearly inspection, mm-hmm. it would pass. It would send out reduced emissions, but any other time it would be sending out over the emission. They actually had a rainy day fund of like $7.something billion.
Goddamn.
$7.2 billion for when they got caught.
Oh, so they knew they were gonna get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, dog. And that money's probably dropping the bucket compared to the cars, vehicles, and shit you've sold.
But they could be facing penalties of up to $19 billion. So we'll see. Mm.
Get them because you make your shit right.
Mm-hmm. Volkswagen is accused of intentionally tampering with emission control. Da da da. So this case is a step down from the criminal fraud allegations, though the Justice Department is also investigating those on the basis that the company misled U.S. consumers and regulators about its car emissions. Meanwhile, another faction of the U.S. government, Republicans, are preparing an enormous corporate bailout. Yep. They don't believe in handouts to Americans. They believe all welfare programs are just keeping people to be lazy and it's entitlement. But they do want to bail out Volkswagen Because Volkswagen's gonna also be sued by a bunch of people, thousands of people.
Right.
Who will join a non-injury class action lawsuit, you know, cases that have been filed by Volkswagen owners who are angry that they were lied to.
Correct.
And that their cars have lost nearly all trade-in or resale value.
Right, because nobody wants to, like, you go trade this vehicle, you know, nah, this model, this brand is the one that's putting out these false tests.
Now, the bill isn't likely to make it through the Senate, but why the fuck would a Republican even think that was okay?
Right, make them goddamn pay.
Mm-hmm.
They were saving up because they knew they would get sued. Fuck you, pay.
Yep, so Volkswagen and Republicans in bed together. That's interesting. Combo.
Yeah, they don't care about individual people, but companies, all about them though.
Restaurants in France are now required to offer doggy bags.
Oh, so people's like, nah, you can't take that home with you. What's happening?
Yeah. As of January 1st, the nation's restaurants are now obligated to provide takeaway boxes for customers who request them. So before now, they've been able to be like, we don't provide those. No, should have ate it all. The new policy only affects restaurants that serve more than 180 meals a day, meaning the tiniest sidewalk cafes will be exempt from wrapping customers' steak frites, okay, up in four swans. But while the doggy bag is, you know, obviously a tradition in America,
right,
diners in France are considerably less enthusiastic about toting leftovers home with them. A regional government survey conducted in 2014 found that while 75% of French people are open to the idea of doggy bags, 70% have never taken leftovers home with them.
Right, because it's probably part of their tradition not to take it home, so their custom isn't like our custom.
It explains why they're so skinny.
That's true too,
why they smell.
And it's possible, I don't, you know, I've never been over there, but their portion sizes actually might be smaller also.
The government report on food waste found that the obstacle is mostly cultural. The majority of diners don't dare ask for leftovers of their meal, while the restaurateurs see it as degradation of their dishes. So it's not even about portion sizes or anything.
Oh,
it's a cultural thing. Perhaps the first step is coming up with a less lowbrow term for leftovers. The nation's hotel restaurant industry union is trying to popularize the usage of the term Le Gourmet bag, rather than it, you know, doggy bag.
We gotta make it pretty.
This is just one part of France's larger effort to cut down on food waste. Last year, the country made it illegal for grocery stores to throw away edible food, instead requiring them to donate it to charity or turn it into compost or animal feed.
That makes sense.
So, you know, it's just interesting, thing, you know, doggy bag thing, but I just never thought that, I never knew that wasn't a thing for everybody.
Right.
Goes to show you. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, preachers insist God wants us to have luxurious private jets to avoid dope-filled airline passengers and demons. Mm-hmm. You know, demons do be on them planes, y'all. And sometimes you got to fly with Jesus.
Jesus first class.
Mm-hmm.
But first, before I read the scripture, Amos chapter 6. Brother Copeland, I was flying home from a meeting, and I had come out of a glorious meeting. I had just finished, me and Creflo Dollar were preaching. Had a glorious meeting. So I was...
Okay. Creflo
Dollar.
So now this is why Creflo need a new private jet. He trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Dollar.
You know they be like, oh, you see my private jet? It's spinning. They got rims on it. Oh, your little broke ass private jet. Nice try, Creflo. I guess them black folks ain't paying like they used to.
It's oh me. Lord.
I had just finished. Me and Creflo Dollar were preaching. Had a glorious meeting. So I was, for lack of a better way to say it, I was spiritually high. I said, people were saved, touched, and blessed. Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us, and we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd...
That's what the Lord be doing, dog. That's what you got going on these days. Baby's dying. Motherfuckers... killing black people in the streets. You got wars going on, people dying of starvation. And he's like, let me holler at my boy Jesse, see if he's really happy with his private jet. Let me holler at Jesse. Jesse, what's going on with your private jet, man? Is the air conditioning is good enough?
The bathroom's work right.
Is everything good with you, man? You doing good though, bro? Everything straight? Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that, man. What am I doing? Chilling. You know me, man. I'm just chilling. Oh no, that's just more police killing black kids in the street. But no, don't worry about that, Jesse. No. No, man. This is about you. So, did you get that gold necklace I sent you? Yeah. Hold on. It's Jesus. Hold on.
I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. Then he said this. So that's it?
What, God ain't had nothing else to do? Was he just sitting on his stomach on the bed with his feet in the air and writing his diary? So is that it? God, I got to get off the phone, man. I got things to do. So I'll be saving people. Anyway, did you see what Justin had on the school today?
I didn't know how to handle it. I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying. I said,
Imagine if he was a Muslim person on a plane talking about, I'm talking to God right now.
Oh, that'd be a problem.
They would have tackled him.
Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something. He said, go to the book of Amos. So if you're at the book of Amos, I want to read the scripture.
May I interrupt you there
yes,
for
sir.
A second?
Yeah, now look up his famous chocolate chip cookies.
I heard they're delicious.
Mm-hmm. Now, hold on, this dude got to interrupt him. Can't even finish his point.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir, no way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Laura?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing?
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No. This is so important.
But if God is talking to you and you're on an airliner, I mean, are you not faithful enough to get up and represent?
And those of you that are just now coming into these things, in the first place, Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have, the mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
So we
you can't get to the Turks and Caicos Islands on just a, you have to stop in Texas. I can't.
You got to lay over.
Now I'm waiting. And what if the Lord has something to say to me next to a crying baby? Now I got the baby crying. I'm like, Lord, what did you say? I can't hear you, Lord. I guess those people just going to have to die. I'm sorry. Everybody's going to hell now.
And this was such a good illustration. I just, the Lord impressed me. That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
to God.
Can. We, it's true. It's when I was flying for Oral Roberts, the brother Deweese, my boss on the airplane, he said, "Now Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on Brother Roberts, and he said, you keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to him unless he talks, because when he's on a meeting, he doesn't talk to anybody but God." Now, Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit.
Sure.
People coming up to him. He had become famous, and they wanting him to pray for him and all that. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
thing. And it's deadly.
And it works on you hard. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, see there, them preachers spending all that money, just fat cats riding around. No, we're not. We're in business to do it. Listen, I could scratch my flying itch with my little single-engine, open-cockpit airplane.
Right.
I just come home, fly around in that, and scratch my flying itch. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. But we're in soul business here.
Right.
We got a dying world around us. Just we got a dying nation around us.
That's right.
And we can't even get there on the air.
When are we going to turn to Amos, though?
Amos. We ain't talking about his famous edible.
I want to know what
delicious cookies.
What chapter says, and thou must have some jets.
Ah!
You know what I'm saying?
This is the only way thou must fly.
Right. Only through me shalt thou get these gold wings.
So what are you saying to the people that can't afford this?
I want to know what do you say to your people in your congregation that's riding hoopties and catching the bus?
Ain't that the truth? Giving their last dime.
God didn't say nothing to you on the bus. Is this all I can do? Don't you want a car, some air conditioning or something, some new shoes?
Can't. Let me give you an example before I read the scripture. Some people say, why do you need an airplane? It started out about a couple of weeks ago. I was in Fort Worth. I preached.
He ain't going to get to the scripture, is he? He got about a minute.
I don't think he's going to get there.
Before I get to this, let me tell you about this other story. I was on the ground. My feet were touching it. And God came to me and said, are you insane? You need to be in a jet at all times. So I said, you right, God. And I hopped in my jet and he flew me down to the movies. And we saw a good movie that day, saw the good dinosaur, and then we got back in the jet and flew me back home. It took about 2 minutes because it was right up the street. I mean, we didn't actually fly. I mean, we just actually coasted down the street in my private jet, like a car.
On a Friday night and a Saturday, I was in Fort Worth preaching for Jerry Savelle. Sunday morning, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. Monday, I was in New Orleans. Tuesday, I was in Chicago. Wednesday, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thursday, I was in New Orleans. Friday, I was in San Antonio, Texas. Saturday, I was in New Orleans. Sunday, I was in another city. I actually have a Delta captain that lives close to my house. I brought him that schedule. I said, can you fly this? He said, no, and I wouldn't. When do you sleep? We're about the
farthest on
the airplane. It's the only way I can grab it, see?
Yeah.
Now, when God is speaking this to me, he said, so this is all I could ever do. And I'm thinking, in myself, well, yeah, this is a phenomenal aircraft you're giving us. He said, then when he said, you're going to let your faith stagnate, now that caught my attention. When God tells you your faith stagnate, you better start listening.
Well, yeah.
So, and I thought, stagnating?
You can't stay here.
Yeah.
You got to do this or you're going to do this.
Just like an airplane, you got to go up.
Or you're going to go down.
You got to fly out to
Hawaii. How gravity works.
Minister to some of them young, tan females out there. Put the hands of the Lord on them. The next thing you know, we got to fly over to Sweden.
Mm-mm.
You got to let them know the words of some of those tall, Swedish models. They need to know the word of the Lord. You know, I'll talk to them.
This, you're on cruise control. You're moving, but no longer by your power.
Mm-hmm.
See?
That's what the DVD is about.
That's what that
By the way, when you're in a car, whether it's on cruise control or not, you're moving not by your power unless you Fred Flintstone and your feet
right.
are beneath the
car. Is the motor.
Yeah.
He said you're moving, but no longer by your power. You see, you're just doing this. Now, watch this scripture. Now, I got to stop on the first word. Amos chapter 6, verse 1.
Wow. Oh. The video. Oh, shit.
We didn't even get to hear famous Amos.
Wow. And thou shalt have no chocolate chip cookies before me, for I am the Lord. Oh, yeah. What spurred that y'all cater shit? We did say we were going to talk about this today.
Okay.
Apparently, as y'all know, several hundred, there was a several hundred person procession through burned. Oh, wait, can I just play this? Will this just explain it without me playing all
this? Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Headquarters was occupied Saturday night by a group of activists protesting the federal prosecution of two ranchers, slated to report to prison Monday on arson charges.
At this point.
Reportedly inside the building, militia members, who claim to have as many as 100 supporters with them.
It's the Constitution.
That building is the people's building.
How long will you stay?
As long as is necessary.
The occupation came after a few hundred people paraded through the city of Burns, about 50 miles away to this man's house. Dwight Hammond Jr., who had served time after being convicted, along with his son, for setting fires on public land. But they say they lit fires to protect their own property from invasive plant species and wildfires. They've been ordered back by a federal court, which ruled their original sentences were insufficient.
It's not about me. It's about America. And somehow we got to get the wheels back on this wagon because they're flying off.
And now the group is demanding that the Hammonds be freed and the federal government give up control of the Malheur National Forest.
There you go. That's what started it all. It's also weird because there was like a rally that was held, and this is kind of a haphazard thing. Like, it made it seem like it was really well planned out and called the people militia and all this shit, but it seems like a small group of the people at the rally were like, let's go take over that government land. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go take over the wildlife refuge. And then it was kind of like a haphazard thing. Yeah, for their supporters, the Hammonds represent the largest battle in the struggle as old as, okay, yeah. But yeah, one of the organizers said they were, okay, most Americans, if they knew the story of the threats and the charges brought against these ranchers, they would say that this isn't right, said John Roberts, one of the organizers of Saturday's rally. We really wanted to show this family support and let them know that they're not alone. The Americans don't turn their backs on them. But there's a stark divide among the ranks over how to best remedy the plight of the cattle ranchers. Some activists, such as Roberts, think the battle will be won through a deliberate public awareness campaign, rallies, and town hall meetings. Others, including some armed militias, have another tactic in mind, armed resistance. As Saturday's rally concluded, a small subsection of attendees led by Ammon Bundy began launching into impromptu speeches, and to the horror of many at the rally's primary organizers, declared that it was time for the group to take up arms. Those who want to go take a hard stand, get in your trucks and follow me, Bundy declared to the group at the conclusion of the event. Yeah, they didn't prepare for this at all.
Mm-mm.
We were just aghast, Robert said. Within the hour, Bundy and about a dozen armed supporters had seized Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, posting armed men at the front gate and vowing to occupy the federal land for years.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, by yesterday, they were asking people on social media to send them snacks. I'm not even joking.
Mm-mm.
His father, Clive and Bundy, we all know 2014, that standoff with federal agents who were attempting to prevent him from illegally grazing his cattle on federal land, who was not himself inside the refuge, told a reporter that 150 militiamen had occupied the federal land. As of 6 p.m., the armed men remained inside the refuge. There were absolutely not 150 of them, Robert said Sunday morning. He had a small handful of supporters, maybe a dozen. I saw them as they pulled out in their trucks. So, we're out here because the people have been abused long enough. Their lands and their resources have been taken from them to the point that if it is putting them literally into poverty, Ammon Bundy, clad in a brown rancher hat and thick flannel coat, told the reporter Sunday morning, his breath forming small puffs of a cloud in front of him as it hit the cold Oregon air. The Hammonds are just one example, a symptom of a very huge, egregious problem is happening all across the United States. The number of anti-government patriot and militia groups has skyrocketed since Barack Obama was elected in 2008.
You don't say.
Wonder what that's about. By the end of 2014, the group had identified 202 such anti-government militia groups, reaching levels not seen since the 1990s.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty wild. So, yep, we'll see what happens with them, man. But motherfuckers, I did not plan that out very well.
The whole scenario just fucking enrages me. It just I don't know. It just don't sit well on my heart. Mm-hmm. We're doing all of this off of fucking acres and acres of land, off of fucking weeds that somebody burned. Mm-hmm. They broke the law, but yet you have people that die unarmed,
not breaking the law.
You have people that don't go and take over security buildings. You have people peacefully protesting, and they don't get this kind of support. They don't get this empathy. They don't get this sympathy. None of this is extended to them. Y'all not calling these dudes thugs. Y'all not calling them terrorists. Nobody's coming in and beating down the doors and fucking taking this facility over because it's government-owned facility. You know, and it's just one of those things to where when people were asking for food and help for Ferguson, you know, all of a sudden it became a problem and an issue. But for this, you expect people to give you the same empathy and sympathy. And I'm not trying to be funny. Nobody died. That's my problem. Nobody died. And it's
your problem is nobody died?
No, nobody died, but you get this response. People die, you don't get this response.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my problem. It's like the color of skin matters in these situations.
Well, yeah, the hypocrisy of the treatment, the fact that even in the piece we just played, they were called activists,
right?
You know, not armed men, not militia, none of that, you know. Now, I'm not even saying they are militia, but they are armed, and we know for a fact that if, you know, in Ferguson, if this happened and people took up arms and then protested, they would probably just gun those people down the streets.
Shit, you couldn't fucking protest in your own goddamn yard. They beat you to death.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, they were tear gassing and harassing people in their own yards, right, in Ferguson. So, yeah, I don't know what exactly their gripe is and how valid it is, to be quite honest with you.
And I think that's my problem.
But the treatment of it is definitely hypocritical, and it's the tone of the coverage that's hypocritical. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, even the tone of the response from the government, which I think is the right response. I don't think the government should be rushing in to fuck people up. It's not, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's chaos and anarchy, but I don't think it was right in Ferguson. I don't think it was right in Baltimore. I don't ever think it's right.
Right.
Just rush in there and be like, let's fuck these people up. But it's infuriating to watch them do this with other people and other causes when the people are belligerent, have guns, are talking about we're going to die for this. Meanwhile, you know, if you just want to march as a vigil for a dead black kid, like, they fuck you up, you know? Like, they come out with the riot gear and everything, and they call the National Guard in. It's... the response is completely different, and for people to not see it or to not be infuriated by it is kind of odd, because it is infuriating to me.
Right. You know what? And I think that's where a lot of my frustration comes in, is that the same response of sitting back, letting shit run its course, keeping an eye, being sure nobody gets hurt. Why don't we get that same thing when we get mad and angry when a black person dies? Mm-hmm. Why don't we get that? You know, we get people up high with snipers pointing down the crowd. You know what we get? Officers pointing guns at people, getting recorded, talking about I fucking kill you. That's what we get.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. I think they might have a valid, you know, point. I don't know what their point is, to be honest, because I can't. You know, for the most part, you can't really get past, or at least me personally, it's hard to get past just the sense of just irony and cruel injustice that their shit is treated so much more politely and seriously by the media and the government.
They're treated like human beings.
Yeah, you know, it's like their humanity is recognized. Meanwhile, you know, the second that they, I mean, I think it was Black Lives Matter was, or, you know, that's such a catch-all point at this point, but there was going to be an action at a mall, the Mall of America, where they were planning to, like, it was like, we're going to shut the mall down. And they hired armed security, put up signs. Like, they were really ready to fuck those people up. Like, hey, no order, no nothing. Don't stand around. We see your black ass in here. It's going down. Like, ready to put up a fucking fight. And it's just like, the response is just so much different for us than it is for them. And like I said, I'm not here to say that these people are wrong or should have no gripe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not even really entertaining going into it and finding out because I'm so fucking angry at how the shit is getting played out in public.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, and that's my understanding. And for me, I know that this is callous. I don't care. And I really hate to get to that point. It's like, because the way people are responding, you're making me not care. Because if this was LGBTQ, if this was women, if these were black, if these were Muslim, if this was Indian, you would not extend this no matter what these people's gripes were. It's like all of a sudden our gripes get dismissed, our gripes get pushed to the side, even if we're valid. And they actually might be valid, but I'm not going to take the time to find out, honestly. I'm just going to keep this real because I don't care. Because the way the media covers this and the way the media cover other things is completely separate, and it just infuriates me. And I'm to the point where I'm just angry.
Yeah. So I don't know. Everybody was like, why isn't the new this on cable news in the on the week during the weekend, and why aren't they covering this? I mean, you're right. If they would have burned the CVS down, you know, been black people at the CVS, the news would have been out there with helicopters and everything.
Right.
But white people, armed white people take over a government facility, and that's different. I guess we just weren't taking over the right facilities, guys.
Apparently not. You let one black person with a gun go into a federal building, they will shut that shit down and get him the hell out of there.
Government cable news is almost exclusively watched by old people, by the way.
No shit.
Yep. For the 14th consecutive year, Fox News has led in total viewers, and in the 25 to 54 year old demographic crucial to advertisers, the network's average of 1.8 million viewers in prime time placed it second among all cable channels, the highest finish for a cable news channel ever. But the most interesting bit about the data is the age demographics. The median age for CNN viewers is 61 and 63 for MSNBC and 67 for Fox News.
Damn.
The young audience, the one that's coveted by advertisers, still remains out of reach for cable news, probably because kids are doing other shit. So,
not only that, they know the internet exists. I can get it, Twitter, like, it's other avenues for me to get my news.
Maybe that's it.
Like I really think that's it. And a lot of people, they're like, you know, we live in the age of sound bites. So why would I sit and watch fucking 60 Minutes when I get a minute or two soundbite that kind of informs me just as much as sitting here for a fucking hour?
Mm-hmm. Twitter is trying to expand tweets 140 character limit to 10,000.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. I don't want Facebook. That's why I came to Twitter. Maybe that's just me. I don't want a goddamn book.
Company is planning to extend its 140 character limit to as many as 10,000, according to a person familiar with the matter.
Mm-mm. Keep your shit short and sweet.
Twitter's loud and devoted user base is quick to bemoan that's such a change expected to be announced by the end of March would spoil the brevity and speed of real-time service.
Right.
The character limit that forces users to pin snappy tweets could give way to longer essays found on Facebook, for example. It could transform Twitter into a more public blogging platform rather than one that is succinct and well-suited to quips and breaking news headlines.
Right.
This person said, however, that Twitter Inc. is aiming to retain the look and feel of the user timeline for tweets that are longer than 140 characters. Users have to click and expand to see the rest of the tweet. As users write beyond the 140 character limit, Twitter will signal to them that they have crossed the threshold as a way to encourage brevity. Why even have the option? It seems weird. In a tweet on Tuesday after the news spilled out, co-founder and CEO Jack Dorsey tweeted a screenshot of text, 1,317 characters of spaces, explaining his thinking about the expansion. Basically, let's see, we've spent a lot of time observing what people are doing on Twitter, and we see them taking screenshots of text and tweeting it. Instead, what if that text was actually text that could be searched, text that could be highlighted? That's more utility and power. Despite the change, Mr. Dorsey said Twitter will never lose that feeling of speed, creativity, and brevity. Read his full message below. Here's what I'll say. I'm not fucking worried about it. Everybody's so fucking worried about these goddamn platforms. We don't own these shits.
That's true.
If it really does start to suck, people will just leave and go to the next thing. Yes, but I doubt any of this shit is going to change the experience that much. And people complain about it all fucking day, man. It's so fucking stupid. It really is. Why we got to have a moments tab? Man, use a different app. Like, what the fuck, man?
David complained about the favorites when it turned to hearts. I liked it, but a lot of people got mad because it's not a goddamn star no more. Who cares?
We are really turning into the fucking people from WALL-E. It's fucking weird, man. It's not the end of the world because they changed something. It's not yours anyway. You know, it's someone else's fucking concept. And they're molding it to what they want. Now, I understand people think the customer is always right and users mean everything. You're not always right and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And yes, they're going to have to find a way to monetize this shit because at some point, they got to cash it in. It's just, that's life. Like, people get so fucking, ugh, babies. Ain't like babies about this shit.
Yeah, I care. I'm not going to tweet about it all day.
Every little fucking change, just everything. Oh, manual retweets. Ah, what am I gonna do now? It's like, they hit the retweet button and I don't know, niggas. Not the end of the world. It took an extra second out of your motherfucking day.
No, I'm not like to that point, no.
Only thing I'm worried about is how the fuck I'm gonna read 1,000-word text while I'm driving. That's it.
No.
Other than that, I'm not worried about the 140 character limit or not. It's just, I need everybody to just take a fucking chill pill, something, drink a drink. Jesus. Y'all make everything so fucking dramatic. What am I gonna do now? Huh? DMs can be longer than 140 characters. Okay.
That didn't even
fit. Then here's the thing. You don't have to write a 10,000 word tweet.
No, you don't.
You also don't have to follow or read them.
Mm-mm.
So fucking easy, man. Jesus. Good grief. I swear to God, man.
Yeah, I'm ignore the hell out of them anyway, just let you know, like I do on Facebook.
So yeah, hey. If I don't read that shit, I won't read it. Like everything else in my life that I don't like, I just go, well, fuck it, I don't care. Let's see what else. Did we fuck with black people at all?
I don't know. I've been fucked with, so I don't know. All right. I mean, we can cover some shit, but I'm fucked with.
Let me see. Was it anything I wanted to see? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do one. Let's do one. I'm not playing the music, though. A Kentucky man apparently shouted at a black judge, punk ass nigger, and gets slapped with 60 days in jail.
Oh, he thought that was gonna go over well?
Yeah, now my favorite thing is, I don't know if this is a reaction shot or just a picture that the judge always had online, but his face says everything. Like,
he was not there for him. Oh, really?
I'm a punk ass nigga? I got your punk ass nigga. Okay. Yeah.
The one is in charge.
Bonds at 5,010%. You want the bond return to you? I've signed this order here. Once you get it, then we'll take it up. Okay. As soon as you get it. Thanks.
Thank you. That's fine.
Here starts. Is there something that you...
Was that a white dude that said that? Damn, the balls.
You wish to say to me?
No, it's my brother.
Oh, is that to your brother? Because I heard you say a racial epithet.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, you didn't...
By the way, don't you just love... He had the audacity to talk that shit.
He called him.
This is why I love life. Because some people talk such a good game, whether it's on the online, I did with the dude that was talking shit Saturday, and I went and been like, well, let me get Justin over here and let's talk about it. And then he ran away, and mm-hmm. He a grown ass old man and ran away.
Right.
People be talking the most shit until you just go, so now what was that you said? Oh, nothing, man. I was just talking to my brother. Yeah, you white. Your brother white. You said punk ass nigga. I ain't dumb.
Is there something that you wish to say to me?
No, it's my brother.
Oh, is that to your brother? Because I heard you say a racial epithet.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, you didn't mean it like that. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to hold you in contempt of court for having said that. And you don't speak those words in here. Yes, and sir. That word particularly.
Yes,
you don't use that word. I'm going to give you 60 days for having used that word. Hold you in contempt right now for having done it in this courtroom. It's disrespectful. Don't ever do it again. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Ms. Ellie. Appreciate it. Madam Clerk, if you'll note that. This is the call of the civil docket.
I don't know what it was for, but he got 60 days.
Listen.
He got 60 days.
That man said, you don't use those words. You don't ever use that word up in him. You know what I heard? What's what he said?
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'm gonna touch the sky.
Oh.
Gotta testify.
So good.
Right. And he was looking like, do you not know that I'm in authority? Because the thing is, he actually left out. He was like, bring him back in here. And yeah.
Punk ass nigga. Oh. I'm a nigga. Okay.
You know what? I really don't think he thought he heard that. That's what it was. I don't think he thought he heard it. He didn't realize the microphone was a little closer to his face.
I think he went back to his cell and said, yeah. So I turned that motherfucking judge. I said, fuck you, judge.
Yeah.
You ain't my judge. You ain't gonna judge me, you punk ass bitch. He won't see me again? For what?
Yeah, I guarantee you, because the thing is, when he walked away, I really think that the microphone caught him on that recording, and he didn't realize it caught him, and everybody heard his voice.
Mm-hmm. Punk ass nigger.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Is that what you think?
Oh, yeah, you're gonna get 60 days.
Here's the thing. One of us is leaving here tonight.
Right. Come on.
And every other night for the next 60 nights. And one of us has extended stay America. Would you like to guess which one of us is?
I know it's so.
I was talking to my brother. Well, your brother can go in there with you.
Right. He can get 60 days too.
So is he talking to you? He wasn't talking to me, Your Honor.
Right. Mm-mm. We don't never use that word.
Sir, I would never.
There are plenty of options to look for love online.
Oops. So 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, zero.
Zero for me, too. All right, here's another one.
Some think one of those options ought to go away.
A billboard in West Valley City is raising eyebrows because of what appears to be some pretty specific criteria for its members.
This new billboard is turning heads and some stomachs.
My first reaction was how awful it is.
Plastered along the 201 freeway between 5600 West and 7200 South, is an advertisement for where whitepeoplemeet.com.
I feel like that's a little bit racist.
The dating site seems to have some pretty clear intentions.
I have a lot of friends who are biracial couples, and they're in love and they're happy.
Even though in fine print.
Hold up. Biracial couples?
Biracial.
So it's like two JL Covans meeting? What is this going on? Oh.
Print, it claims to be open to everyone.
Even though they say that anyone can sign up for it, what are they trying to hint at? Like, they're technically saying it's just for white people.
Many people we spoke with say this site is sending the wrong message.
Well, I just feel like we should be past that whole mindset of staying within our own race and segregation pretty much.
But many people weighing in on our Fox 13 Facebook page feel differently. Christina says there are dating sites for Black, Latino, Jewish, Catholic, Mormon, Muslim, farmers, etc. Who cares? Tammy says, I don't see a problem with this. A lot of dating sites are geared towards specific races or culture, and even farmers. What's the big deal if a white person wants to date only other white people? A lot of different opinions about a topic that tends to rule our hearts.
I think that it doesn't matter what color of skin you are, it's just you can find love anywhere.
A North Salt Lake business address is posted on the website, but it also lists a phone number in Philadelphia. We've called that number several times for a comment, but are still waiting to hear back.
100, because every goddamn site is wherewhitepeoplemeet.com. What are we talking about here? We've actually done studies and statistics.
Over the last couple.
And it's white people with more white people that says we don't date niggas. So what are we talking about here?
Okay, we all know. If they don't have their own site, white people will never meet each other in this country.
They never meet each other in this country.
It's so difficult.
What are we talking about here? What are we
you know what
about
it is? This is the ultimate result of white people that think like, what about white privilege and white countries are for everyone, this is white genocide and that kind of shit.
And you, and the thing is, you know why these other groups are specifically for blacks and all that stuff? Because when we go there, there's nothing but white people and we can barely find each other. And a lot of times, even if we break our profile down, we'll still get matched up with white people. And a lot of times you won't date us or you don't want us. I just keep this real, or you'll have it where you say, I don't date black people. I don't date brown people. You know, so what the whitepeoplemeet.com is like, oh yeah, all the other sites is this. It just don't say whitepeoplemeet.com.
Yeah,
but to me, you already had no. I try any major site is probably 75 to 80, possibly 90%, because and honestly, and a lot of black people, there are more black people that online date, but the percentage, and brown people that online date, but the percentage is smaller, and a lot of people started and quit because they got tired of going here, and it was nothing but white people, a sea of white people. And it's like, if I want to date somebody look like me, I'm not going to find it here. So basically, you're being very redundant, in my opinion, with this site.
What about White History Month? What about white entertainment television?
Oh, that's coming soon.
White Power, that's the same. Yeah. Whitepower.com is the same as Blackpower.com.
It's the same.
It's all the same.
People,
Sam Russell, the 53-year-old man who with his wife set up the online dating site where whitepeoplemeet.com, says he isn't racist. He insisted that he set up the website when he saw how many black people meet ads that were on daytime television and realized that he and his wife might be able to create a good pre-retirement business by doing the same thing for white people. It's about equal opportunity, Russell explained. The last thing in the world I am is racist. I dated a black woman once. I helped raise a young black man. I just believe it's hypocrisy to say one group can do this but another can't. Oh man, the early version of the site's been online since August. The official version debuted last week, along with a controversial billboard featuring a white couple. Still, Russell insisted the site is not racially motivated in any way, pointed out that anyone over the age of 18 can join, and that it could be an option for those other races to have preferences for white partners. If you're a black man who prefers to date black white women, this might be a good option.
Like every other fucking website, you're not unique. What is happening here? What the fuck is happening here?
Like darkcavern.com.
Right, and enter there and just get called a bunch of niggers, because when you do this, all you're going to do is tell racists this is the place to come and spew your racist shit.
I'm going to put my picture on there and just put, where the white women at? That's my tagline. Mm-hmm. Russell said,
fuck around and get death threats.
Where the white women's at? Any white women's around him? Russell said that he knew he would face backlash. First of all, if you're a white woman that only wants to date a black man who's only interested in dating white women, your ass is in trouble. That nigga ain't shit and you ain't either. Mm-hmm. Russell said that he knew he would face backlash once the site went online, but he went ahead and blazed forward with his business. I knew there was some potential for backlash, but I'm not going to dodge it. No one who knows me will ever call me a racist. Okay.
I mean, that's fine. You have the site, but all you going, you're just competing with everybody else that's predominantly a white site.
So 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
All right. I'll give it 75, because I still was laughing. I don't know how they got me to laugh, but they did.
The problem that brown people have and stuff like that. And the thing is, you say this site is open to whitepeople.com. I have a question. If it's that narrow minded, just with the title of the site, is LGBTQ invited?
They only want white people to.
Okay.
It's just about
just whiteness. Okay. Sexuality don't matter, just whiteness.
Listen, white people are having a hard time finding places where they can have sex, Karen.
Apparently.
Everybody knows it's hard to see white on white couples. It's just getting so difficult.
Wow.
Especially in the middle of Utah or wherever that sign was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Guess the Race. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race.
That's right, it's guest of race time. Now that it's time for some guest of race. That's right, it's guest of race time. Ba-da-bum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land, where you read or write, where we read or play news articles from all around the globe. Yes, I can test this today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Story number uno. You got a problem, bro? A road rage incident was caught on video. In Pennsylvania. Oh no, they took the video down. Well, this story sucks without the video.
Oh,
eject. Eject.
Oh, okay.
Not gonna do this one.
Oh.
Yeah. I should have did it earlier. Sorry, everybody. Cops. A man rubbed feces covered underwear in wife's face during the Christmas dispute. Mr. Hanky the Christmas poo. A man is accused of breaking into his wife's apartment on Christmas and rubbing his feces covered underwear in her face so she couldn't breathe. Now I gotta tell you something, it very rarely sounds like a good relationship when you gotta break into your wife's apartment.
Come on now,
it don't even sound like it's our apartment. Seriously,
sound like it's whose.
Huh?
Sound like that's hers and you ain't belong there.
Yep. Syracuse police said in court documents that around 7:50 p.m. on Christmas Day, 32-year-old Matthew L. Stewart broke into his wife's apartment on Polk Street by breaking a living room window with his hands. Stewart is accused of getting into a physical altercation with his wife while his 2-year-old daughter was nearby. At one point, police said Stewart pushed his feces-covered underwear into his wife's face so she could barely breathe. He is accused of saying, "Smell it! Smell it!" before shoving his wife to the floor.
Ah!
He's like, "I'm sick of your shit, and you're going to be sick of mine."
Yes, you are.
Police said the woman hurt her knees in the fall. What about her nose?
Right. Smelling all that shit.
Stewart was charged with second-degree burglary, second-degree harassment, fourth-degree criminal mischief, criminal obstruction of breathing, and endangering the welfare of a child. He was arraigned in Syracuse City Criminal Court and ordered held without bail in Onondaga County Jail, where he remains. Guess the race chat room. Blacker than the doo-doo he rubbed in her face.
Aww.
Live interpretation of Boone, Quisha, and Otis for Kwanzaa, black. Sounds like she was faced with a shitty situation, black. Even though he didn't have a key to the apartment like Jody and Baby Boy, even though he did it on them like Nikki said, he's white. Doo-doo brown brother, I know you like to think your shit don't stink, but take a face of underwear, I love is boo-boo, black. Moon cricket, what can brown do for you, black? Well, all you racist sons of bitches are wrong. He was a white man. And then one person got it right. Damn. Feces in the face. I know. And it was in his underwear. Like, was he shitting on himself?
Right.
Did he took his shitty underwear off and did that? Or did he like shit and then put it in some underwear and then do that? And like, did he plan that? Like, was that a thing he said earlier in the day? Like, can't wait to end Christmas night by
shit.
Huh?
Yeah, he got that morning shit on, just held on to it. How old was the shit?
Right. Like, was that like something you wake up on Christmas Eve and do? And then that's going to be your gift to her? You know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, now I see why she got her own shit now.
Yeah, she got her own shit and his shit.
Right.
So the shittiest Christmas gift of all time.
Yes, it is.
A man robbed a credit union and tried to hide behind a Christmas tree. Police say an Oregon man did his best to spread some holiday cheer while robbing a credit union, telling the employee, "I hope you have really good holidays." According to police, Brett Gillespie Comstock, who then took his $1,373 in loot from the Selco Community Credit Union and immediately went on a shopping spree, where he bought a Christmas tree that he used to hide his face when police stopped him. It only took police 40 minutes to catch up with Gillespie Comstock after the alleged incident was captured on surveillance footage. However, he had one heck of an efficient shopping spree. According to the complaint, he managed to buy some food at Jimmy John's, went to a marijuana dispensary, bought a hoodie, and also purchased a can of spray paint at a Napa Auto Parts store. He also scored some dog treats at a local pet food store. Guess the race of Mr. Brett Gillespie Comstock. Let's check the chat room.
Man, Jimmy John's. I like Jimmy John's.
They're all right. They're not my favorite. I like Penn Station over them. Jersey Mike's is better. I put Jimmy John's over Subway.
The only thing I do at Subway is the meatball. That's my favorite stuff from there.
The Wet Bandit White, one of Stephen Avery's cousins trying to raise money for an appellate attorney. Oregon White as that militia. He wasn't used to running from the laws like Dexter Manley would say, White. Oh. Bought a hoodie and weed and live white. A bro, not a brother, White. If he was black, he would have hid behind a Kwanzaa candles. White. Have a white Christmas spree thief. White. The boy said bring snacks and festive food. The correct answer is White. He was a white man. Mm-hmm. Nobody missed that one. Good job, everybody.
Great job.
Yeah, look at what's wrong with his face. You know, got cross eyes or something, or maybe he was just looking ornery. Either way, face like that, you ain't gonna forget it.
Nope.
They was like, yeah, it's him with the cross eyes. Oh, okay, all right. Cool. Try to hide behind that tree. Yes, right. That's him.
40 minutes. He should have moved quicker. Spent some more money.
Bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round to guess the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. Most of y'all are 1 for 2. Let's see if you can make it up in the bonus round. Everything's twice as much. A delivery man from California has been arrested after he stabbed a customer who complained his pizza took too long.
What?
I guess he I get hold on. We gotta get this shit right. Alright. I guess he just hold on, wait, that's not right. Where is it at? Oh, there we go. I guess he just wanted a slice. All right, sorry. I had to, y'all. I had to.
That's my jam.
Michael Parker, age 31, is charged with assault with a deadly weapon in connection to the bloody confrontation that broke out Saturday night over a pie. According to police, officers were dispatched to a resident around 11:35 p.m. after getting a 911 call about a stabbing. Upon arrival, they found a 20-year-old man suffering from stab wounds to his wrist and neck.
Oh.
The victim received first aid at the scene before being transported to a nearby trauma center to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The unhappy customer gave the 31-year-old Domino's employee a $3 tip on a $45 order, but Parker refused to leave. Police later tracked down Parker to the pizzeria in Covina where he worked and arrested him in connection to the attack. He was released on $30,000 bail early Sunday. He had it. Good for you, buddy. I've been saving those tips. Parker is scheduled to be formally arraigned March 21st. Guess the race of Mr. Michael Parker. who stabbed the customer. And more like 30 minutes or more, right?
Right.
Jesus. Well, I know they was probably talking the most shit till they got stabbed. You late motherfucker, I shouldn't even give you this. You're lucky you got the three. Oh shit. Let's see. Mozzarella. What is that race?
Mm-hmm.
White.
Cheese.
Had $30K in bail money. White. That entitlement is real white. Non-life threatening. Definitely not Latino. They delivered it to his hood. Not black. White. What's the delivery driver that did the stabbing? He doesn't believe in unions, so this is how he fights for 15. White. Papa John's nephew. White.
Oh.
Did not know how GPS works. White. Little Caesar. White. Pizza. Let's see what else. Paid bail and stabbed the dude and gave him money. Who gave him money? White. Can have a baby mama and not get letters to the editor. White. Karen. What is his race?
He has like a black dude.
Karen's going with black guys, so you guys all lose. None of you got it right, I think.
He actually looks like a black dude.
Yeah, I actually do not think as a black dude, but.
Okay, I mean.
Nope.
Can I recast my vote?
No, you can't. Everybody missed it.
He won't let me recast my vote, y'all.
I thought he looked Latino, so they was all gonna miss it too.
Right.
Either way.
Right, because I was like, white. I was like, not white, but I was like, Latino.
Nobody said black or Latino, and either way, y'all niggas was wrong. Y'all all said white, and you just gonna have to live with that. Okay, that's a bad decision that you made, and hopefully you can make a better one tomorrow. Those police driver had an illegal sword and left his three-year-old at home alone. Guess the race. White. Authorities say a Chocoton Cohocton man who was arrested after the traffic stop in the village Saturday afternoon had an illegal cane sword in his vehicle and an unsupervised three-year-old at home. By the way, if they caught him in a traffic stop, you know that wasn't the first time he did that. Police charged Ernest Benjamin Van Curen III with obstructing governmental administration, second degree aggravated unlicensed operation, and driving an uninspected motor vehicle while having his driver's license suspended 6 times. How the fuck do you even get your license suspended 6 times? That's like, you have not had a license more than you have had a license.
I ain't got the truth.
How do you even get it back to get it suspended again?
Correct.
Is that like?
I bet you paying fees out your ass.
Do you even bother going up to the DMV to get the license again when you know you're gonna lose it? Can you even drive to the DMV to take the test?
Does your insurance when you call the number be like, hell no, we won't cover you?
Even Flo be like, come on, man, stall, come on, dog, stall assist out.
You better go to that General Dollar insurance.
Meanwhile, I know.
I might be mispronouncing that dude name.
Nah, that's the general something.
Right.
Nah, General Dollar, it's better. Whatever it's supposed to be, General Dollar is better.
Right, because he was like, we will cover you for $1 a month. How the fuck you going to get insurance for $1 a month?
Yeah. License gets suspended 6 times, call the general, and save some time.
Right. You was like, they'll fucking repossess your car if you have this insurance. They'd be like, nope, just get the car back.
Got a sword and your baby crying, call the general, save some time.
I know, right? You were like, what the fuck is happening here with this song?
Got pulled over, got a sword and some crime, call the general and save some time.
All right, some white dude looking like Colonel Sanders out there, bit bopping in an army suit.
Call 1-800, goddamn it.
Yes! Call 1-800, I'm broke.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Steuben County Sheriff's Office levied charges of fourth degree criminal possession of a weapon and endangering the welfare of a child against Van Curen Authorities said Van Kuren was uncooperative during the initial investigation by a Cohocton police officer refusing to stay in his vehicle or identify himself. It was later identified, what, they didn't know offhand? They suspended his license 6 times.
Right, you, believe you me, you know this person by now.
Yeah, it should have just been like, come on, Ernest, damn it. Again, where's your son? Where's your, is he at home alone? I bet you got the sword cane. He got the sword cane, y'all. Well, you're going to jail. His 3-year-old son was left at home unsupervised for almost an hour during the incident. The sheriff's department said the cane sword was located during the inventory of the vehicle taken into evidence. Typically, sword canes allow the user to conceal self-defense sword blade with a normal looking walking aid. Van Kuren was arraigned in the Cohocton Village Court on Saturday, and bail was set at $1,500. That's it? $150 he can get out.
That's it.
Not immediately known if he has an attorney, and the investigation is continuing with the assistance of Child Protective Services. So they didn't take his kid yet. They investigating, should they take his crazy ass?
Right.
Should they take his kid from his crazy ass? Man, this kind of, man, must be nice.
Must be nice.
All right, man, we'll be back tomorrow to finish up the week. Man, this is a fast week, isn't it?
Real fast.
Yep. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.